This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Trans POV is more than just the trans narrative. There are the usual questions about the trans person's earliest memories and their various stages of gender exploration. We have already discussed the differences between transsexual, transgender, and gender fluid, and that gender identity is different from gender expression, which again is different from sexual orientation. While I am usually open to answering other people's respectful questions, which no one would ever dare to ask of other transgender people, it is clear that simple definitions aren't enough anymore, and we need to be talking about lived realities, and sometimes the voices we need to hear from aren't always trans. It's time for a bit of Trans 201. Welcome to Trans Point of View.
Welcome back to another fun episode of Trans POV. Here we go again. We are talking body image and body identity, all kinds of just being, just loving yourself. Now, my guests today are Bowie and Anna. Now, if everyone could just sound off and maybe tell me your pronouns, things like that, and where you come from.
So start with me. Okay, lady first, okay. So my name is Anastasia, and I'm from Vietnam, and I'm a transgender woman. Your pronouns, she, his.
Great. Yeah. And Bowie?
Bowie, I'm originally from regional Queensland. Gladly escaped. my pronouns are they, them.
Great.
I'm non-binary.
So... Bowie, you and I did an episode on fitness.
Yes.
And talking about the rights and wrongs and some of the myths and whatever. And sort of kind of working from the inside out as well. And Anna, you and I are always talking about body image stuff. Now, you yourself, you and I have subscribed to a different sort of trans identity, I guess, in a way, where we sort of do the non-op. We're not focused on the... running out and getting surgeries, focusing from the inside out.
Yep.
And we always talk about different projects. It's like how we can talk about these things more with our wider community. Give me a bit of a rundown on some of the stuff we've talked about so everyone at home can follow along.
Okay, so I think the whole idea of the whole this body image campaign that we're trying to push is that, because personally we have gone through that transitioning stage where, like, from a male body to a female one. And to think of it, male or female, you know, we're all the same, really. It's just the skin and the hair and the extra bit and the lack of thereof, you know. For me, I struggled with my identity before because I was called ugly as a kid by my family every day. And I hated myself. I hated my skin so bad. And there was no point of reference for me back in my hometown. Because I came from a very conservative family and upbringing, and they are kind of academic, but they are not that progressive. So I came here. I learned about my sexuality first, you know, the actually, most important thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sex. it's astounding though. Like, we focus on sexuality more than identity, which is so strange. Mm.
Now, you, Bowie, you also said the same thing in our last episode, was that same thing about men and women, very much the same.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter, like, the specifications of what you're doing, whether it's diet or exercise, it's all very much the same.
Yeah, it is definitely, like, a body's a body. Our brain doesn't, like, we teach our brains gender and all of that. Our body itself just functions as it is supposed to function. It doesn't think, I am a man, I must do this, I must look like this, I must be this. That's all taught to us.
Yeah. And so you and I, Anna, we've talked about how, you know, there's always that quick rush out. It's almost like the, as you would say, a nutrition plan or like, say, a workout plan. We all of a sudden have this like trans plan where it's like, okay, in 3 months, I'm going to get the lower surgery. And in a year, I'm going to get my top surgery. And then I'm going to get my trachea done, or I'm going to get my jaw done, or I'm going to get my forehead done, or I'm going to get... And there's never any talks of what are you doing to project yourself from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked about doing things like photo shoots.
Photo shoots to embrace our body, you know, because I'm actually trying to have a campaign where we take, like, we film our shopping experience, especially within the intimate department, and then we to show that there's a lack of inclusion and in terms of identity and also sizes as well. And you know, and it also for me, it will be very empowering for those who still in the closet are too scared to go out there and really live the life they want and to be proud of their body.
Now, you, Bowie, you identify as non-binary. Yeah. So when you're going out and shopping, how does that make you feel like when you're going out?
I'm all right with it now. At first, I was kind of a bit uncomfortable. I get a lot of looks being in the men's area, and I buy men's underwear, and especially with that, I'm standing there, you know, holding them up, comparing, holding them in front of me, seeing what, and I get just weird looks from people. It's like, look, so I'm wearing men's jokes.
I'm not gonna lie. I still wear boxers at night, and they're damn comfortable.
They're so comfortable. Like, women's underwear are just impractical for everything. It's like,
I trust you. Yeah, well, so impractical.
I don't know. I don't, for you, Anna. Now, those at home, I've got to understand. Like, Anna, when I've met Anna, Anna's always been this like very fashion. Fashion forward sort of person, and so today she's wearing shiny leather pants, and there's no way in hell you can wear boxers with those pants.
Yes, no, I wear like two layers of, you know, knickers, you know, because I need to keep everything in place.
Well, I do the same.
Yeah,
just to hold, you gotta hold everything down, and then there's, I'm not doing the duct tape like the drag queens do. There's no way.
But you know, thank God it's cold today, you know, but in summer it's,
well, I mean, yeah. Plus you're Asian, so that helps. No, oh,
really? Well, so far, like, the men I've been with, they haven't complained yet, so, you know. So, yeah, it's just so fascinating. It's all just a piece of clothing to cover our privacy, and then we get judged on that.
But do you hear about the woman in the UK?
Yes, Ashley Cram, the plus-size model. Is
it the plus-size one? No, but there was another one who won some... we'll come to that one in a minute. Mm. But there was... she had won some kind of... pageant or something like that, but they had seen her outside of the pageant, she had the dresses and stuff, and in her private life she was wearing boxers.
Yeah,
like, and they were told her that she wasn't trans enough because she wore men's clothing outside of that. And so there's so many trans women I've seen who actually go so far as like who won't wear anything masculine. I've seen even trans men, all trans identities actually, where they don't even want somebody to know about their genitals, don't touch them, don't look at them, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And it's like, I see such a mix of things where just learning to love your body a bit more and just enjoy it for what it is. So, yeah, but that was not trans enough for wearing boxers.
That's crazy. Oh, just the fact that people like even say that, like, what does that mean? Like, because it's such a personal thing.
Yeah.
And it's something that's kind of given me anxiety because, like being non-binary, I was like, how am I going to be accepted in the community? Because I don't want to have a full transition. Like, I've thought about top surgery, but then it's like, well, I don't want to be just gendered as male as well. So it's kind of finding that balance of, like, I feel good about myself. I train a lot to be quite muscular. What is trans enough?
I'm sorry, but if I'm gardening in the background, in the backyard, I'm throwing on boxers,
right?
And I'm just, and I'm going to throw on some hard yakka, blunt stones or whatever it is I'm going to do.
All the practical stuff.
Yeah, the practical stuff. I'm not going to go in and go out and wear
heels on
and wear pink, you know, activewear just to pull some weeds.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's, I live in Sunshine. It's quite a ghetto area. and then, like, so, like, it's normally, like, my staff at the restaurant would see me in, when I go out, like, before I go out, I would drop by the shop and get some coffee. And I would look like this today. But then normally, if I could just do some shopping, some grocery shopping in Sunshine, I wear, like, my trackies and my flip-flop. And
no, hold on. Wait a minute. You in trackies and flip-flops.
Yeah.
You have to send me a photo of this. Okay? Because every time I've ever known you, You've got either something see-through where you can see your brassiere. There's actually, the pants are shiny.
I'm quite reserved today.
You are quite reserved today, except for the shiny pants. Yeah. But you in track pants and flip-flops, that I'd actually pay to see.
Yeah, and it's just so weird. Like, you look so different to them. Like, dude, like, I'm just going to get some salad. Like, yeah. And besides, like, I'm just walking past, like, the butcher. Like, it's not the way I'm going to see the hottest guys on the earth or anything, you know? It's just so weird. And people just keep on making assumptions.
And that's the thing, though. It's that pressure that we need to be presenting a certain way, or like you beat to the rhythm of your own drum, and so do I. And like I, you know, there's days I'll throw the ball cap on, I'll have a beer and a hockey jersey, and who gives a shit? So, but that's the things that I found that with some of my trans friends, like even still being called dad. My girl's like daddy, but she and her. And so I have, like, my kids were sitting there with my friends, and they were like, why do you still do that? Why don't you even call your mom? Because it's like, you should be called mom now, not dad. And I'm like, but why shouldn't we? Well, there's these pressures that we have by everyone.
Yeah, like the normative sort of gender roles that we all have on each other. Like, you know, like we constantly put each other into this sort of binary boxing system, which is so sad, because we reduced all of the possibilities that we could have.
Oh, you know? Exactly.
And it's just so... And the thing is, then the fact that we are sitting right here, like three brilliant minds, you know, talking about something that nobody really focused on within the trans and the queer community.
Yeah.
Like being expressive, being your own kind of authentic. And
now, you and I had an idea, you know, like with this whole body image campaign. So basically take in trans people of many different walks of life from many different you know, corners of the world. And just doing, like I said, videos of the lingerie shopping, or doing photos of just bodies in general and some of the things we're shamed by. How do you see it all going?
Well, so far, I guess I'm actually having a business idea. And that's just going to be the startup for my business. I really want to see how the public react. And also... I think it's crucial for the trans and the queer community nowadays to give more voice and to be more visible.
Well, especially since the Yes campaign stuff we've been hit with.
Like, I mean, the Yes vote really opened so many doors, like a lot of doors for us and also the haters too. And the only way that we can sort of counteract, you know, retaliate would be being more visible and being more active with community work. And that's why, like, I really want to ask and beg everybody from the trans and the community and in the queer community to take part of this, you know, like to be, because we all wear underwear.
Yeah.
You know, and like we must, you know, it's the society has dictated us to wear underwear, you know.
Well, if you see me on Saturday, you probably wouldn't.
But you know, like, it's so, and it's just something that is so intimate to yourself.
Yeah.
And you see yourself in that, in front of the mirror.
Now, myself, identifies as a trans woman. Now, I have to admit on this that I'm the same. I went out to look for just something a bit more pretty lingerie, sort of just you know, something simple. And I found that even though I am more of a plus size woman, that I even found the plus size things that were there for plus size women actually weren't for plus size women. So their idea of a plus size woman was totally different. But then again, the things I was finding was like 4 and 5X and whatever, and it still wasn't fitting my body shape, which was quite ridiculous.
Yeah, but then because we were born in a male body, so our frame is slightly different. Like our ribcage, it's wider, and the shoulders as well. So the way the straps sit on, it doesn't really suitable for the body we have. Yeah, so that's something that we should work on too, you know.
Yeah.
Not reducing our shoulders, but, you know, work on the fashion industry.
Well, Bowie's going to help me with that with me, so.
But I even found that being female-bodied and before I kind of transitioned to a more, like, gender-neutral style of clothing, that I've got wide shoulders, I've got a long torso, and I've got narrow hips, so women's clothes would never fit me. They were just weird and baggy and too skinny in the shoulders and too wide at the stomach, and it was just so awkward. define anything that kind of suits.
Well, men's boxers would be so much better. Well, you get such a skinny waist, you're probably a boy section, aren't you?
Or yeah.
You
know? Like maybe like size 14, like for the boy section, it'd be big of you or something. You know? I wish I could have that, you know.
Honey, I wish I had either one of your body frames. I mean, look at me. I'm the size of a house.
But it's good, though. I honestly, if anything, I would love to be slightly bigger, like taller, so I can be more intimidating towards the hater. Yeah, I mean, that's just me. I'm very proud of you. Like, yeah, I've met you, almost 2 years now?
Yeah.
It's been almost two years.
Wow.
And, yeah, like, everywhere I go, people would know Michelle, and I keep telling them, well, she's like my fairy godmother. So, yeah. And
well, we're going to work on this thing together. Yeah. We're going to go and put together this campaign around body image and getting out there and just, you know, sharing. So I'm going to do my best to bear a bit of more of my flesh for you on this one as well.
Yeah.
And get out. Like, I'm constantly on this show, constantly putting myself as a guinea pig on stuff. You, I'm going to sweat for. Yes. You, I'm going to get naked for. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Oh, come on. You enjoy being naked anyway. You know?
Well, look. A pair of shorts and free balling is one thing. Getting naked is another, all right?
Yeah. Well, things like I have found a few photographers and they identify themselves as queer. They love the ideas, and I think it'd be great if we can get some sort of like exposure, because already, you know, we need to express the diversity that really lays within our community, you know, and what is a better way than showing our skin and showing how comfortable we are?
Yeah,
because, you know, like as human being, we are constantly pressured by the society on how we should look or how, yeah.
But you felt the pressure yourself when you came out as trans and identifying as female. What were some of the pressures you felt?
Okay, so at first I came out as gay because I didn't know any about gender identity or gender.
Oh yeah, you as a little gay boy was totally different than yeah.
And then the thing is, so when I first came out as a gay guy and you're being Asian and gay, it sucks. I hate to say this, but it sucks. And then being like lanky and effeminate, it was like a death sentence for your dating life or whatever. And you know, so I had the pressure of like, you have to be butch, you have to be masculine, and you have to beat the gay stereotype that the society casts on you, that he's not flamboyant and that, yeah.
Have you ever had a masculine walk in your life?
Oh gosh, no.
Like no. I think your pants are so tight you tiptoe when you walk in a room. So
well, maybe like when I'm in my trackies and, you know, flip flop, that is the most masculine time ever. But that's it. So yeah, and then as a trans woman, I would have my male peers. It's like, you're hairy for a girl, like you should wax. I'm like, are you for real? Like, I can't.
Where?
Yeah,
I can't.
You have that one patch on your forearm.
Yeah, it's a birthmark, actually. So yeah, and it's just so silly. Like, it's like, oh, you're a girl. Like, you should shave. I'm like, I came from ape, though. Like, I'm just like you. I came from apes. Mm. Who cares? You know. Yeah. And I'm too busy. I'm sorry. I have a life, and I'm just too busy to have a proper waxing appointment.
Oh yeah, trust me. Look, I try to. I take an epilator to this, and yeah, I'm just like, it's like shaving a sheep.
You know, it's yeah, so. and it's a trans woman, and you know, or like, you know, you should wear more dresses. You know, you should wear this and that. I'm like, but then they are just clothes. They are just clothes. They are just for insulation and an expression of.
But you were so worried as well about things like surgery, like the pressures that said you had to go and have a certain breast size or things like that. And you were freaked out about that, I know, from the early days.
Yes, because, you know, because the first trans people I've met, they all have like
massive tatas.
Massive rack on them. And then, you know, they would be like immaculate looking. And that's the kind of pressure I faced when I first came out as a gender fluid or...
Well, I was going to say, because a lot of Asian trans women would be very much that. There'd be a lot of pressure to live up to on that, wouldn't it?
Yes, a lot. Because I guess, you know, being a woman in the Asian culture would be quite tough because you always have this sort of, like, you have this, like, the certain expectation to look in certain ways and to behave in certain ways. And so when I first came out as a trans person, I struggled a lot. Like, you know, and then at the same time, I see all these people who have come out before me being established in terms of their identity and financial stability. You know, they all have like the expensive makeup. You know, they always smell like Chanel. They always smell like, you know, Yves Saint Laurent, and they would have like the most expensive handbags. And that was the kind of pressure I faced too. And for me, like, oh, hang on, like now I want to be a woman, and do I need to look like her?
So you had the pressure of smelling like Yves Saint Laurent and Chanel, and dresses as a man before becoming as a woman.
It's just so, you know, and it's an eye struggle because, you know, so you have the society to telling you that, yeah, like, oh, you're a woman now, that you should
look
this way.
You have to look like that.
You have to look this way. You have to have a bit of makeup on, but don't wear too much because you look like a whore if you wear too much makeup.
Oh, I got that when I went home to the Midwest. I was getting the whole, well, don't do too much, don't do this. Like, my mom was like, well, now you're a woman, so you need to start doing this and doing that. You need to be more feminine. And I'm going, but I just want to kick the football. Like, I don't want to do that.
I know. And then it's just so silly. And then even like the most like fashion obsessed person, like if they should know, like Coco Chanel, she broke the rules by dressing women in suits, and weird.
What about you, Bowie? Like, coming out as non-binary, and you're talking about, you know, top surgery and stuff like that. Do you still feel those sort of pressures to go be more masculine, or what kind of the pressures you face?
I think I do feel like I need to. I feel the pressure to look androgynous because it's like, okay, you're non-binary. You've said you're not either, so therefore, don't look like either. It's like, don't dress too masculine. Like, I do prefer the masculine style of clothing, and then it's like, well, why don't you just go and transition and be a dude then, if that's how you want to look?
But what is androgynous or non-binary? Like, what is that style supposed to be?
Yeah, right? It's like, especially when there's this gendered clothing, it's like you can have really feminine stuff or you can have men's clothing. It's like, there's no in-between. It's like, if I wear jeans, kicks, and, you know, a t-shirt is generally what I wear, and it's like, well, that's men's clothes. Like, because
my mom,
you never
said the
see ladies wearing that. Like, there's so many,
but it's, women,
it's
do
like, it's yes. Like, you, once you move away from being cisgendered, it's like you've got an image that you've got to kind of fill. It's like, because it doesn't matter that there's so many other men and women out there who wear these other varieties, when you're in this little category right here, this is how you have to look, because we expect you to look like that. So we feel comfortable with naming you as something. So,
but I always find it funny when you get these names, like everyone comes to the names, they're like, my name is now Q. I am called K. And it's like, okay, we're not the men in black. You can still be called, you know, like a proper name. But, you know, it's there's these pressures I find on non-binaries that are, that there's no rules. But then I've found that even now people are starting to, they were coming to me to talk to me about gender markers. And they were telling me, oh, they don't like MX and stuff like that. I was like, I'm not MX. I said, I'm not MX. I'm not a non. I said, I'm a woman. And they're like, oh, for transgender people. I said, whoa. You're cisgendered. You don't understand. I said, I don't identify as this. I said, I do, you know, I'm very gender fluid in some of the stuff I do.
Yeah.
I said, but I'm a woman. I said, I don't want to go by MX. Stop trying to put me there.
I find it so hard to find places where I can have that MX. It's always got to be female. I've always got to be a Ms. And it's just like, I'm just not. And it's like, I'll ask, it's like, okay, can I have this title? And they'll look at me really blankly and be like, what is that?
Yeah, like, I don't understand. Do you find yourself as well with being non-binary that you have not so much an issue with what you're projecting to others, but say your own body itself? Like, do you feel that sort of hate, like, against your body, like some trans people do?
Yeah, I have, which is one of the reasons why I'm wanting to get top surgery. I really have an issue with having breasts. I feel they're so just foreign.
Squishy.
Like, but yeah, just it's like having this just weight there that I just feel kind of traps me, and it's like, I don't want to have that. I don't feel like that kind of makes me who I am. And like, I've trained a lot to kind of, because training reduces the size of them, so I've kind of, as far as that goes naturally, I've kind of limited how visible they are. And like, I tend to wear like baggier shirts and stuff just so I don't look like I've got a lot of anything there. But I find, yeah, I really struggle to feel comfortable, like, even just looking at them or knowing that I have them and feeling them. It's a big challenge.
I know with myself, like, I felt that pressure with getting top surgery done. Like, I was really adamant on the whole non-op. I didn't want to go and promote any kind of surgeries because it wasn't what made us women. Mm. Like, but for me, like, I had it under development, and I remember looking and going, they were just like little and sort of like not even, they looked lost in the rest of my frame. And it took me a bit to get my head around getting my breasts augmented because of that trans, my own stigma that, like, but I'm not doing this because I'm trans. I'm not doing this because I'm trans. So I remember sitting down and really processing why I was getting it done. And when I finally became comfortable with what breasts I had developed was when I was comfortable having my breast augmented. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us don't take that time to sit down and think about the image of our bodies, what we think about our bodies. And it's like, well, my body doesn't look like you. Mm. You.
Which is flat.
Tiny. No, not flat. Tiny. But my body isn't like you, so I'm not whatever enough, or I'm not this enough, or I'm not that enough. Yeah. So, you know. Mm.
It's really, honestly, because I struggle with body image my entire life. You know, like, I was the ugly duckling. And I was the overly famed gay guy, and now, like, I'm the flat-chested woman, and it's very annoying that, you know, like, I really got to feel comfortable in my own skin. Mm-hmm. Just because they just, like, I keep hearing voices from outside. Mm.
Like, shh, don't talk about the voices.
like, don't listen to them. It's just, you know, it's very frustrating.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, and then even recently, like, so my ass got bigger slightly.
Yeah.
Recently due to HRT. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I still have people telling me, oh, they're still flat though. Like, you know. And I'm like, well, I got fatter. I'm not saying that, you know, like, my bones got bigger.
Mm.
You know, yeah. And that's something that you can change. Like, you can augment your breasts. You can augment... your, like, you have hair extension, you can remove the hair, but you can't change your bone.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like, you can't change the very thing inside you.
Mm. Exactly. No, you can't.
Yeah.
That frame is there, so you can't make that change at all.
You know, and besides, like, it doesn't matter, like, how hard you try to be more cisgender looking, you are still a trans woman. You are still a trans person.
Mm.
And I will never have an ovary to, you know, or to carry a baby.
Yeah.
No, actually, a womb to carry a baby, but, you know, and like, I think we have to live with that fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what? So where do you see this campaign? Like, what are you hoping the campaign will end up doing then? For because we're showing a bit more, maybe a little bit more flesh, a bit more of who we are, mm. on a more intimate side of things.
Mm.
What are you hoping that people see apart from chasers and fetishists who, yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, this campaign is not just for trans women or for trans women or for a queer person, any queer person. It's for everybody.
Hmm.
Because, you know, I'm actually quite tired from seeing my friends. So, like, some of my gay male friends, like, they go to the gym, like, 5 to 6 days a week, 2 hours each day, just to look... Just to have that image.
Mm.
And
yeah, I see that. There's such a culture of that to go, yeah, and meet a certain expectation. Like, at guys who's like, okay, let's catch up after work. I finished at 6:30 and like, oh, but I've got to go to the gym and I'm going to be there for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm like,
wow. That's
are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, that's why are you doing it though? Like, are you doing it for your health? Or are you doing it because you want to portray such an image?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and I want everybody to be comfortable. Like, yes, work out, but to maintain a healthy lifestyle,
mm.
not just to impress the girls or impress the guys or pick up somebody, you know. It's
see, I find, and I hate that, like, the whole body image thing, especially in, like, the dating. You and I were talking about this before, is that, you know, within the dating space, it's like, you must meet a certain criteria, you must meet a certain this, and sometimes some of those bodies that you see are like perfect bodies, quoting fingers in the air.
Yeah.
Mm. Some of those bodies aren't actually, those people aren't actually healthy sometimes.
No way. No way.
And the thing is that with social media, like, those images are airbrushed, like, highly photoshopped.
Yeah.
Like, nobody, like, no girl would have, like, legs that long. Come on, like, and, like, thigh gaps as well. And that's just, oh, surreal. Well, I think
the thigh gap, they said it's like a percentage is like, it's like this really, really low, like 2% or something like that of, like, the female population actually have that sort of, and there's women who are freaking out and dieting so much that they can have and achieve this thigh gap that they'll never actually achieve because you can't actually achieve it other than
starving yourself.
And so it's learning just love yourself. And I guess for me, I guess I'm more comfortable, like we were talking before in the other show with Bowie, that I'm more comfortable now going and doing some of the stuff, putting myself out there and going through this exercise because I love myself, who I am, more. Same thing with your stuff, Anna, with the campaign that you're doing, is, you know, putting myself there, showing maybe a bit more of my body, loving myself a bit more, and showing that I love myself. And not stressing about, I don't have this surgery, I don't have that surgery, or my body's more masculineness, or, and just, yeah, and that's what we just need to change, I think, as a community, and show the everyone else outside the trans community that we, you know, we love ourselves more.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, like, it's more important, because for me, the moment when you take off your gloves and being comfortable in front of the camera, or any kind of camera, you start to realize your true beauty. You know, and that's the message I want to send. Like, I want people to, when they take their clothes off, they look in the mirror and they feel sexy. They feel the best of themselves.
And not a lot of us do.
Yeah, and because you know what? Because we are so stuck on the 2D surface we have on our phones and on our screen. And we're like, oh, we want to look like, you know, that guy. I want to have her outfit. I want to look like her. But we, at the same time, we don't understand the stories behind it.
Like, oh, that's it. Some of those people with those, like, super ripped, like, kind of bodies and stuff, the effort you've got to go to, and the diets you've got to have, and the training you've got to do just to get to that.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
It's so bad for your body, and it affects your hormones, and it affects your organs, and it affects your whole body, and you end up long-term with such, like, serious issues. And these people are trying to sustain or attain something that is just so unrealistic, just in general, for like 99% of the population.
Yes. Like, because I have a bachelor degree in nutrition and food science, so I understand my food quite well.
Yeah.
And the physiology behind the metabolism as well. And like some of the people I've met, like they are actually killing their bodies.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Yep.
They are destroying their own temples. You know, it's
oh, look, I've done that with chicken wings. So that's what I got, boy. Now I got you, knowing you do this. So y'all can help me out. You'll cook for me, and she'll beat my ass.
Oh, you've tasted my food, and they are quite healthy.
And oh my God, I'm so sorry. I just misgendered you, for God's sake. I'm so sorry. All right. So yeah, you'll kick my ass, and they'll make me sweat to death.
And that's another thing. And you know, so that's my goal. Like, I want people to, first of all, like, maybe not to be in front of the camera if they are not ready for that yet, but to reveal your true skin and look at yourself and see the beauty that was given to you.
Oh, exactly. And look, and being trans doesn't mean you're trying to change so much was given to you at birth. It's just presenting it, you know, the way that you identify, and it's just finding that sort of peace within yourself, really. Mm. But then to show, you know, to go and do this campaign to find, you know, like you're talking about, you know, finding, say, better lingerie that fits, or, I mean, just underwear in general. If you don't have good underwear, like, you're going to be angry for the rest of the day if that doesn't fit right.
Or, like, you know, have to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes to check your tuck.
Oh, I've done that. Have you ever tucked too much? And I've come out of the toilet and I've just tucked a little bit too far. And all of a sudden I walked out and you're just kind of like, and I'm like, I'm coming with my friend. They go, you okay? I'm like, No. I can't even breathe. And so, like, I'm, like, going behind, like, a clothing rack and kind of standing there just kind of adjusting myself while nobody's watching. And it's horrible.
I know. It's like for me, I'm, like, so my ass is an 8, but because of whatever I have, I have to wear a 10.
Yeah.
And then, therefore, like, I have this extra space that constantly...
What are you talking about? I'm like a size 16 in jeans. I'm wearing a size 12 undies.
I'm talking about, like, how about my occasional flop.
Yes.
You know, and it's very uncomfortable, like, to wear two knickers.
And see, this is the thing. And these are the things we don't even talk about. Like, we avoid these topics whatsoever. And it's TMI. It really is. But we can find a way to laugh about it and go, have you experienced this? Oh my God, I so experienced this. You were 20s as well. Oh my God, I'm like crotch pot cooking. I can't help it. But but we need to laugh about these things, but find better solutions by do laughing about it.
Yeah, it's just because, you know, the thing is that we body shame ourselves as because you know as a minority, and we do have certain expectations from the society that we live to, and then so we shame ourselves, and then we have them shaming on us. So for me, I feel like laughing about it, but and by admitting our struggles, we really helps to lighten the load up, and you know, and just be more positive.
Great. Now, I know you and I are working on the body positive image thing together, but I know you're sort of running with this a bit more.
Yeah.
And if anybody wanted to reach out to you to actually discuss this topic further with you, Anna, how can they do that?
They can always contact me through Facebook. Now, that is like the best way to reach out to me. I will post that on the Trans POV Facebook page. So they can reach out to me.
Great.
And not just only about body, but I'm happy to talk to anybody just like the way you did to me, to really help them and guide them, you know, the better way to cope, you know, with transitioning and finding themselves, you know.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in and sharing some stories and having a good laugh with me, especially about the body image.
And
flip-flops, yes. Anna and tracksuit and flip-flops, we need to find this photo and share it.
Yeah, hopefully. Now, I'll be more careful now. You know, I'll be more careful with that. But then that's another thing. I have my other images up there, you know, online. Yeah. And, you know, that days where I was wearing like a wig and with like extreme...
Honey, like, there's photos of me out on Facebook that I look like a damn bear. All right, like I with the beard and everything. And you know what? It doesn't matter because it's all part of your story.
Yeah, but no. To think of it, I'm actually quite proud because I had no role model as a woman, and then now looking at those pictures and looking at myself right now this morning, I'm like, I've come a long way, and I'm actually grateful for the journey. And I have all these amazing people to share my journey with. You know, they have seen me grow, and I'm proud of that. You know, I'm proud of them too. You know, it's amazing.
I'm proud of you too, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Thank you again for coming in, Bowie.
Hey, you're welcome.
And we'll share everyone's stories and things they're working on Trans POV. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon. And thank you for listening today. If you do want to reach out to us, you can get us on email transpov@joy.org.au. You can also get us on Facebook, which is TransPOV on Joy. You can get us on Twitter, TransPOV, or you can just come to joy.org.au and just follow up what's going on here at Joy in general. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.